Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative Communities. American Indian Living is hosted by the initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the nation. Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we've got a great show lined up for you. It's going to make a difference both in your home and in the workplace because those two areas are more interrelated than most of us have ever thought. To help us in that dialogue as an expert in the field, it is Dr. Sylvia LaFaire. Sylvia, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks, David. I'm just thrilled to be talking with you right now.
Now, Sylvia, you've got an impressive background, a lot of great people writing very positive things about your role as president of Creative Energy Options. You've also got this PhD after your name. I mean, all this provokes a lot of interest. Tell us about yourself.
Well, you know, it's very interesting how sometimes you're going down a straight, narrow path, and all of a sudden there's a crossroad, and you find yourself taking a turn to the left, mm-hmm. and everything changes. And that's what happened to me. I was a trained family therapist and worked with, you know, all kinds of situations with couples and families. And one day we were doing a program at our center for parents whose children, whose adolescents were driving them absolutely bonkers.
Okay.
And the place was packed, as you may expect.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, at the end of it, a man walked up to me and he said, "Would you work with my senior leadership team?"
Huh.
And I said, "Was out of left field." I said, "Why?" He said, "They're fighting." I said, "So what?" He said, "But Sylvia, you work with people who have to get along, families. They have to get along." And I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. There's an interest to be together through genetics, which is the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's interest to be together through economics, which is the workplace.
Right.
So I went in, and as the story goes, it worked well, and the rest, they say, is history. And all of a sudden, Creative Energy Options got shortened to CEO, and we were working in the business world basically 100%, well, 95% of the time. Occasionally, I would still see a family.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, David, if you think about it, is, the workplace is very much like the family. Ever think of it that way before?
I'm going to be honest with you. I have, but it's not something I've heard anyone else really talk about.
Well, good. I think this is absolutely pioneer territory. And here's what's interesting. You know, we have bosses at work, kind of like parents.
Mm-hmm.
We have coworkers at work, like siblings. We get salaries at work, sort of like an allowance.
Okay.
And we even get punished at work. It's called a performance improvement plan. You know, it's kind of almost like being sent to your room. You know, you better change or do something different or there's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, what happens is in the workplace, everything we learned in our original organization, which is the family, shows up at work. So, you know, I'm glad you have thought about that. And no, it's a fairly unique position. And the book, Don't Bring It to Work, is really about all of that.
And, you know, in fairness, I haven't thought about it globally. I've thought about it because I'm in the healthcare industry and I've worked in centers where we've actually been taking care of people, not hospitals. I've done a lot with what we call residential lifestyle change centers. And I've often, the thought is not original with me, but I've thought that to operate most effectively, we have to look at ourselves as a healing family as people come to us. And so that's some terminology actually that I think I was first exposed to in a writing of a kind of a health visionary back in the 1800s. But it's something that I've talked about, but I haven't thought about it in terms of other businesses really.
Well, you know, I've been fortunate that I've been able to work globally.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen, even though there are cultural differences that come up, the same issues around family show up in every culture. Every culture. From, you know, the Native Americans, through whatever we do in this country, through what happens in India, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really interesting to begin to look at how things connect.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a whole power to it, and we call it the OUT technique, O-U-T, so that you learn to observe your behavior patterns.
Okay.
Then that's the O and out. The U is then you understand where they came from. And then the T is the big one. That's where you need the strength training. And that's where you make the choice to transform what no longer works for you. It may have worked when you were 5 or 7 or 12, but as a grown-up, it's getting in your way.
Mm-hmm. Well, walk us through some real-life situations. Give us a story and tell us how you apply this OUT technique.
Well, I'm going to work through one that literally just happened to me today.
Wow.
Which I'm still processing,
okay.
But it's not uncommon. And this is in a school district where we've done a lot of work with all the administrators, and now we're working with the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an elementary school group of teachers, and there were some dissatisfactions. It happens in every workplace.
Right.
But they were afraid to talk about it. And what I've done is I've come up with the 13 most common patterns from childhood that we bring into the workplace. And one of them, not surprisingly, is the avoider.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't like conflict, and they will run away from it. So we were doing some work with the patterns, and one of the gals in the program this morning, one of the teachers, admitted that she was an avoider, and she wanted to change it.
Okay.
We began to look at where it came from, and it turns out she was the oldest daughter in a large family. There were, I think, 10 children, and while she said her brothers were kind of, quote, her words, not mine, wild, she was the good child who did everything, and she had to make sure everything was kind and good because she didn't want to upset her mother,
mm-hmm.
who was raising so many kids and was tired all the time. And she finally looked at the principal, and she said, very respectfully, but she said, you know, I have found that I get angry with you if you don't stand up for somebody being late or somebody not doing what they said they would. And she said, I've never had the courage to tell you that until today.
Mm.
And she said, because I used to protect my mother, and now I've been protecting you. And the whole room, there were about 20 people in the room, heaved a sigh of relief. Now, I've worked with this group for the last 7 or 8 months, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, this wasn't a brand new, hello, you annoy me kind of thing.
Right, right.
But she was able to look at the patterns. And, you know, David, if anybody listening is interested, they can go to the website. It's on my Sylvia LaFair website. I have an author website, and it's S-Y-L-V-I-A, and LaFair is LAFairAIR.com. And they can go on and take the Pattern Aware quiz. So they have to answer questions, and it has the 13 most common patterns there, and you answer questions, and then it's a weighted quiz, so you'll get the answers fairly quickly to see which patterns that I call are sticky, that
mm-hmm.
have your name on it.
Hmm.
So for her, it was the avoider. For me, it's been the drama queen.
Okay.
For someone else, it's the victim. Somebody else can be the bully, you know, persecutor. But once you see the pattern, that's the O and out, is to observe it. And you begin to see, as this gal did today, I mean, the whole room changed when she was able to say, I really didn't want to say anything to you because I would never say anything to my mother. And it's her boss.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting to begin to look at this. And then she said, I want to do it differently. So that's the T and out. To transform it and tell the truth. that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's tremendous material. And I guess the big question that probably a lot of people are asking as they're listening, they're, of course, they're first saying, well, I wonder where I stand. You've already told us, Sylvia, that people can go to your website there at sylvialefair.com and they can take this inventory or this quiz. But I guess the question would be, so what if I find out that I'm an avoider or a drama queen or if I'm a bully? How do I change that? Do you offer help in that regard as well?
Well, that's the key to the whole thing. You know, when I started to research this, when I left the field of family therapy and went into the world of consulting in the workplace, It took time. It took many years to say, wow, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely the same thing. And so what happened then is I started seeing these patterns. You know, the drama queen, the avoider, the victim, mm-hmm. the pleaser. And then I thought, well, if that's all that I'm going to see, and I don't want people walking around having stamped on their forehead, you know, I am a pleaser,
right.
I am an avoider. You know, I am a rebel. It was like not enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I started to say, all right, what do we do now? What do we do? And that's when I started looking at the tools for transforming the pattern. And there are the out technique is a way to do it. We do a thing, which is what we were doing today with this group of teachers, called pep talk. And pep talk stands for pattern encounter process. So you have to look at your pattern, and once you talk about it out loud,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't hold as much power over you.
Hmm.
It only holds power when we're not aware of them, and we do the knee-jerk same thing over and over again, saying, mm-hmm. why did I do that again?
Right.
So once you can say, yep, that's me. Listen, it was not easy for me to admit my drama queen. So may I tell you a quick story about how this started and how I got to that?
Oh, no, please, please. This really helps make it practical for all of us.
Well, this is a while ago because, as I said, this is research that we were doing by the seat of our pants. And so one day I had a meeting in the morning, and something very difficult happened in the meeting, and somebody was really annoyed, and I got annoyed, and I kind of smacked my hand down on the desk, you know, very mm-hmm. dramatically, mm-hmm. if you will. And I said, now this has to stop, whatever it was. And I heard somebody on the side say, oh, she gets so dramatic.
Hmm.
So I left the meeting, and I thought to myself, what does he know, right? That's his thought. I'm not that dramatic. No big deal. In the afternoon, I go to another meeting. Different group of people, different situation, but something contentious happened.
Uh-huh.
And I knew not to put my hand down hard on the table because I didn't want that feedback.
Right.
But I must have flailed my arms in the air or something. But I said, you know, why are we doing this? And blah, 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 blah. And somebody looked at me and said, Sylvia, that's just too much drama.
Mm.
So I leave that meeting. Now that's twice, right?
Okay.
Well, we all know the third time is the charm.
Mm-hmm.
That night, I have two daughters, and they were both in college at the time, and one of my daughters called, and she was telling me something, and I said, Julie, that's absolutely ridiculous, and it shouldn't happen that way, and blah, 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 and she said, Mom, stop. She said, when you get that dramatic, she said, nobody can talk to you, so how about if we talk a different day? And she said, I'll call you tomorrow, and she hung up. And I thought, drama in the morning, drama in the afternoon, drama at night. The only constant in that drama was, guess what? Me.
You got it. You got it.
And so I walked over to my husband. I said, do you really think I'm a drama queen? And he said, you've got to be kidding. And I said, well, why hasn't anybody said it that way? And he said, well, they do. You just haven't listened. So there I was, but I didn't want drama queen stamped on my forehead.
Right. That's where we got to go, Sylvia. We got to talk about the solutions, but we have to step away just for a minute. I'm Dr. David DeRose. You're listening to Sylvia LaFaire. We're talking about ways to transform your life, transform your workplace, a lot more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like Dr. Juan Carlos Belliard with Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth. The Gateway Program, offering American Indian youth from throughout the country a sponsored 3-week residential program to introduce them to healthcare careers. The Gateway Program, an essentially free program that is part of Loma Linda University's CAPS programming, Community Academic Partners in Service. Online at llu.edu or by phone at 909-651-5011. Again, 909-651-5011. That's Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth, a proud partner of American Indian Living.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them. And then you can share with them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people and full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose. Across from me, if you will, in our virtual studio, even though we're across the country, is Sylvia LaFaire. Sylvia is the president of CEO. She is helping us see the connection between our relationships, especially our family of origin and some of the challenges we face in the workplace. Sylvia, you got us all interested. You shared with us this revelation you had that you were, as you put it, the drama queen. What did you do with that information?
Well, I'll tell you that in 1 second, but I must add, there are as many drama kings out there as drama queens.
Now, why are you telling me this, Sylvia?
Well, I just want it underlined because we ladies get a bad rap for being the main drama people, and it's just not true.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks so much. Well, so give us now your help for all of us who may have this tendency.
Well, you know, as I looked at it, what happens when you're doing a drama, what I would call a hissy fit, is you've got adrenaline going. I mean, you're kind of, you know, getting high on yourself with all the noise you're making. Well, you know what? Storytelling is a very powerful form of being able to use your voice, use your arms, use your body, use yourself to tell stories that can be healing stories and can be very powerful. So what I saw was if I flip the drama into being a storyteller, and being a storyteller that can do good, that can, you know, use story to move things forward, which is the essence of what story is, then I'm still getting my adrenaline rush, but I'm doing something positive.
Well, that's excellent.
That's what I did. I took it and moved it. So the drama queen or king becomes a good storyteller.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in my listening audience, Sylvia, that would say, well, wow, you're talking about storytelling to Native Americans. This is the solution for any problem that we're dealing with. Is there some legitimacy in saying that whatever your weak area is, whatever your default mode is, that there may be some help in storytelling, or is that too much of a stretch, at least from your framework?
No, that's absolutely right. And what's happening is that the wisdom from the Native American culture is absolutely beginning to percolate even into corporate America. And we know that PowerPoint presentations fail and stories win. We know that. So people are like, but they have to be authentic. And, you know, the stories from culture, the verbal stories that were passed down through the generations, were there as teaching stories, teaching about love, teaching about leadership, teaching about integrity, teaching about authenticity. And leaders in the business world now are beginning to see that that's the route to go if you want to have a really prime organization. So it's going back and learning from the elders and the wisdom of the past. You know, David, I used to live in New Mexico.
I'm aware of that.
And did work in some of the pueblos, or met with some of the people in the pueblos, and we would do pottery and talk about things. And the wisdom is so astounding. And I'm finding that it is moving into the business world here and there, and needs to. It's very powerful.
So what is the reaction, Sylvia? I'm just curious. You go into an organization, maybe for the first time, they've learned about your work, maybe they've read some of your books. They say, this would be a great consultant to bring in. We're just in factions here in the workplace. I mean, productivity is terrible. People are all at each other's throats, if you will, or they're just siloed in different areas, not talking with the different teams. When you show up and you start introducing this model, does it raise a lot of eyebrows, or do people usually resonate with it in a very short time?
Both. It raises eyebrows because telling the truth is very scary. You know, we've learned, and you know, it's interesting, as you look at, as a kid, in any kind of family at some point, if you say, well, that's not right, or why are you doing that, a lot of times the adults will say, just be quiet. So we've learned to be careful, and in the workplace, we're still being careful. But once that ability to tell the truth, and David, this is so important, so I have to underline it, telling the truth is not spilling your guts. It is a high art form that we have to learn, that we knew when we were really little kids, and then we had it sort of pushed out of us to be appropriate. But when I go in, and there's a period I have to go through that it's not fun, and I don't particularly enjoy it, but I've learned to sort of sustain myself through it, where people are learning how to handle conflict and tell the truth. And, you know, while it's scary, it really is, in every company I've ever worked in, the companies, obviously, I've been able to sustain through it, end up taking that, and it's the base of how they operate. What happens is there's more creativity, more collaboration, and the end result is higher productivity and what business is about, you know, more financial success.
Well, Sylvia, let's make it practical for someone who's listening right now, and they say, there are huge problems in my workplace. I'm not the employer. I'm not in leadership. I've seen other people speak up and tell the truth, and the next thing I knew, they were gone. They haven't asked for Sylvia LaFerre to show up. So what option do I have? I'm just keeping quiet because I need my job and my family needs my income, and if I tell the truth, I'm going to be out of here. Is that a realistic scenario in some settings?
Well, it's realistic to a point. And then at some point, and you know, as a physician and working with health, that the stress starts to build up.
It's true.
Until it becomes toxic. So at some point, You know, and my theory is, and this may rankle some people, but I have to say it, he or she who remains silent is guilty too.
Hmm.
And you can't just point the finger at them. You have to say, what am I doing to make the change happen?
So give us some more stories, because there's other people that say, I can't relate to this business of a drama queen. I heard you mention victim, and there are people that might now, as we're talking about these scenarios, they may feel that they are a victim and don't have an opportunity to speak up. How is it their fault? They're wondering, what can they do?
Well, you know, a victim is basically says, I have no power. They, or whoever the they is, they are doing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you have to do is observe it, that I tend to be a victim. And then you have to go and understand where those knots got tied in you. And when I say knots, I'm talking about K-N-O-T-S and N-O-T-S.
Hmm.
You know, not good enough, not like, not capable, not fair. All the knots, and they tie up in us and say, who can I go to and what can I do to begin to make a difference? Now, the victim, when they transform their pattern, they become explorers.
Hmm.
It's interesting, in the Native culture, what I've learned is in the tribal meetings, if there was a problem, you were to come in with three answers to the problem. You can't just go in and complain about a problem. You have to say, here's one way it can be done, here's another way it can be done, and here's another way, and then discuss it. So, you know, while people are feeling that way, taking a step, and you have to, you know, say, all right, who can I take a first step? Who can I speak with and mm-hmm. say, you know, we're not getting along here. We can do it differently. What I've had is people who have called me later and said, we bought, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is, copies of Don't Bring It to Work. Or we had everybody take the pattern aware quiz online, and then we started talking about how to make behavioral changes. Now, is it easy? No. Is everybody going to do it? No. But what I'm saying is, I'm giving hope, David,
mm-hmm.
that if someone or someone's are willing to say, it will stop with me, then change can begin. The other thing is, I think that the fear of losing a job is bigger than actually losing a job.
Hmm.
That's what I've seen. I've seen people who will go, now in some cases, you know, smart is just being quiet, but in many places, speaking up will get attention as long as it's done respectfully without poking fingers in people's eyes saying it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, this is great information, and it's so valuable today, because it seems like we're in a culture where sometimes relationships are given a second place, at least in the workplace, and they're elevated in the social sphere and the kind of media that we find ourselves involved with. But this is just very practical, Sylvia, and I know you've got a lot of other scenarios. You've got some other great books that are out there that we want to talk about. Before we slip away for our next break, give us again your website.
The website with the Pattern Aware Quiz is Sylvia Lafair, S-Y-L-V-I-A, Lafair, L-A, F as in Frank, A-I-R, .com. The other one with a lot of the business information is Creative Energy Options.com.
Okay, that's Sylvia Lafair. She is sticking with us for the rest of today's edition of American Indian Living. A lot more great information that can help you in the workplace, in your home. Don't go away. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be right back.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our second half of today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose with Sylvia LaFair. Sylvia is sharing with us insights that span some disciplines that many of us have not put side by side, let alone in the same bedroom, family dynamics and things that happen in the workplace. Sylvia, as we've been talking and thinking about some of the needs in Indian country, one of the buzzwords in the workplace today is diversity. I just had the privilege of reading something on the internet that you actually wrote about a very different look at diversity. I think that really resonates with my listeners. Can you share with us your insights on that topic?
Absolutely. It's probably the deepest passion I have. And my theme, the really big visionary theme, is we're all in it together and nobody wins unless we all do.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah. And I have to keep that in the front of my brain on those days where I'm thinking, oh, it's not working and people are nasty to each other. Here's how I got to it. It's sort of a difficult story, but I'm going to share it.
Please.
Watching my father die from a heart attack when I was 14.
Wow.
Lit a fire to just live a life of outrageous adventure, because he died young, and I thought, I'm going to just adventure, adventure, adventure. So, you know, again, we lived in New Mexico, and we were out taking groups to Chaco Canyon and camping out there and really exploring all kinds of different ways. I hiked the Inca Trail into Machu Picchu at one point. But I realized at some point that some of this was to sort of still run away from the childhood grief that I had never solved.
Mm-hmm.
Because my father and his brothers were in a family business, and they fought all the time.
Wow.
So one day, I said to my father, as a 14-year-old, why are you always bickering? And he got quiet, and he said, there were two brothers. He said, well, we're just so different. And I thought to myself as I grew up, different can kill. The word different pushes away. Different makes you other. Different is not uniting. And I started to explore what, just like understanding family dynamics, what will bring us together. And the word, which is the title of my new book, is unique. Because unique says one of a kind. And we know that. We know even when twins or triplets are born that everybody has their specific place. And no two of us are exactly alike, period.
That's right.
So I started to literally look for the cure, if you will, the cure for difference, because it does separate us.
Mm-hmm.
And diversity has been around different, and it hasn't really helped. There's still tons of lawsuits, and people are still hurt and angry with each other. But the word unique is very special. So what I've pulled together are my tools, my techniques that I've worked on for years, to really get people to begin to appreciate themselves first and others next. You can't appreciate others till you appreciate yourself. And there are so many beautiful stories around people listening to each other, hearing the tales of what happened to them and how they grew up. And one of the women that I remember, we took a group of business people, and we were at one of the pueblos. And she was a potter, and we were doing the coil method of pottery, the ancient method of pottery, and, mm-hmm. and putting it into the kiln. And it was just an amazing kind of thing that we were doing. And we were sitting as we were working telling stories. And she told a story about how she left the Pueblo and went to New York, and she went to a school for dance. She was an amazing dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt so, quote, different and unhappy. And she came back and she said to her family and to the people in her tribe, she said, "What can we do so I can still dance and still do my creative arts, but not feel so different?" And she began to get in touch with her uniqueness. Now, as the story goes, she went then learned how to go back and forth. She was in New York. She was actually in theater at that point,
mm-hmm.
and then would come back to the Pueblo to literally, her words were, drink from the well of comfort and then go back again. So as we start to see ourselves as unique, we can push through that different, which makes us want to stand in the corner. Does that make any sense?
It does on a certain level. I guess the challenge that I'm having as I'm trying to relate to this and putting myself in the place of my listeners, not everyone has the privilege, like the woman in the story, of being able to transition between two worlds. Someone might say, I'm doing good just to have a job off the res and get back and forth and have a car that even works. I mean, I don't know if it's going to start tomorrow morning. And I'm in a workplace situation where I'm the outsider. I'm thankful to have the job, but people don't respect me. They look down on me because of my Native American roots. I'm trying to ask the question, are you saying part of the challenge for that individual is to recognize the value that they bring to the workplace, even if they're not valued?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the bigger part, I think, is to begin to look at their own personal story from a larger vantage point.
Mm.
To go back and look historically at the beauty and the grace that the Native American ways have and have given to us. I have a quote from Chief Seattle in the book, which is in its own way very sad, because he is saying to these people in this land, if you don't treat the earth as our mother, you're going to pay a price. I mean, I just took this beautiful speech and put it in two words, but it's beginning to reconnect in oneself with the power and beauty of one's culture and begin to see the uniqueness. And what happens, David, as I've worked with this over years, is people begin to, the word for me, and it's maybe not the right word, but begin to blossom.
Mm-hmm.
They start to see themselves not through the eyes of those who call them different, but through the eyes of the level of looking at themselves as unique. The power comes when we begin to transform our own stories about ourselves.
And you and I, Sylvia, know that this word unique is actually the title of your newest book. So you've got the book Don't Bring It to Work. I know you've got another book that's dealing especially with women in the workplace. And then you've got Unique. But here's the question. When we come back to this tension that some people have with valuing themselves in a difficult workplace, it actually comes back to those 13 different, if you want to call them personality types or ways of dealing with conflict that you mentioned earlier in the show. A lot of times people find that they're dealing with someone who's in that role of a bully. They feel that that is, if you will, disempowering them, and it's making it quite challenging. Is there something that the person who's on the receiving end of some level of abuse, whether it's in the home or in the workplace, can actually do? Or are they really powerless if someone is taking a role of having, at least powerless in that environment? Do they have to step away? Do you see what I'm asking?
I hear what you're saying, and that's the way we've been living in this world. You know, there's a triangle that gets created that's interesting between the bully, or what I call the persecutor, the victim, and a bully, persecutor, will always sniff out a victim. Mm. They'll find them because the victim's going to say, you're right, it's my fault. The third part of that triangle is the rescuer. Hmm. And somebody will usually come in and, you know, guess who they're going to side with in that triangle. If the bully's there pointing their finger at the victim, the rescuer, 99% of the time, will come in to rescue the victim. They'll protect the victim.
Okay.
They'll make excuses for the victim. That's a very classic triangle that occurs in families. And, you know, if your listeners just take a few minutes and think back, they'll see where they fit into this. And, you know, it's interesting because when I'm in the workplace and I'm in a meeting and somebody, the persecutor, sort of points their finger at somebody and says, it's your fault, and the victim is sitting there going, well, you're right, I do everything wrong. I mean, they don't say it in exactly these
right.
words, but, yeah, you know, it only rains on me, nobody else kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I usually will start counting. I don't even get to 10 before the rescuer will jump in to protect the victim. So what happens is the victim, as I said before, becomes an explorer and says, it will stop with me. I'm going to find answers to this. I'm not going to sit here and permit myself to be bullied. And even if they look back in their family story and see that people have been bullied for many generations, you can say, I'm the one who's going to transform this. I'm going to become the explorer. I mean, you don't have to be out there screaming and yelling about it. You just have to say, let me see if I can find two or three options to change what's going on. Does it take hard work? Yeah, mm-hmm. but anything worth its weight is going to mean that you have to learn how to do it differently. And don't bring it to work. There are lots of stories about how to transform this. So it's a way people can get a little bit of courage to do it. The rescuer, rather than jumping in to save the victim, becomes a mentor. They become good questions. They say, all right, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to handle this? Why do you let him beat you up? Why don't you stand up for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to think, yeah, why don't I do it differently? So victims don't have to stay there. I know it sounds impossible in many situations. It is doable. I didn't say it was easy.
I guess I'm hung up on this parallel with the home, and I'm thinking of people that have been in abusive relationships, and it seems like the only option is actually to get out of the relationship, and was trying to see how you bring that to play in an organization where you're actually trying to keep your job, for example.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Often, if we've been in abusive relationships, we do need to get out of them. I'm not suggesting anybody ever stay in them. But we're going to take that energy with us of not trusting, of thinking it's going to happen again. I mean, this takes some hard internal work to make these changes. And that's why I like to work with teams, because, you know, there you're not so alone in doing it. And you can begin to say there has to be a better way and I will speak out, knowing that, you know, as I said, and I hear you, David, I think more and more people are afraid they're going to lose their jobs if they speak out, than will really lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. Often they end up becoming very well respected and get promotions for speaking out. You know, and again, it's in the way you do it. If you're going to do it blasting people in a negative way, that won't work.
Right, right.
So it's about learning a more user-friendly, if you will, way. And that's what I keep saying. Telling the truth is not spilling your guts.
Great
and
point.
It's not about blaming or attacking. It's a different level of telling the truth.
Tremendous. Sylvia, we got to slip away once more. We've got a final break in today's edition of American Indian Living, but Sylvia has got some other great insights that will help you in your relationships. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We will be back. Stay tuned.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like Dr. Juan Carlos Belliard with Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth. The Gateway Program, offering American Indian youth from throughout the country a sponsored 3-week residential program to introduce them to healthcare careers. The Gateway Program, an essentially free program that is part of Loma Linda University's CAPS programming, Community Academic Partners in Service. Online at llu.edu or by phone at 909-651-5011. Again, 909-651-5011. That's Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth, a proud partner of American Indian Living.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Dr. DeRose with Sylvia LaFaire in our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. We're speaking about some real challenges, and I know it resonates throughout Indian country as we speak about things like historical trauma, as we speak about oppression, as we speak about differences not being appreciated, whole groups of people being undervalued. So although there are things changing in culture, there are still challenges. And Sylvia, we're so appreciative that you're helping us to look at this from a different framework. But I think we need some more hopeful messages of people who said, look, I was in this situation and it was able to change. Do you have some stories for us?
Well, I'm going to take one from a different culture.
Please.
But I think it's an important one. This is somebody who grew up in China.
Okay.
And came to this country. And he got to a position where he was a supervisor in a company. And people would come to him with problems. And he would always send them to HR, send them somewhere else. And they were very angry with him because he was an avoider. He would never face the conflict. And so we were doing an offsite. And the group was, in a very respectful way, they were telling him that he absolutely was not supporting them the way that they wanted. So we went out to lunch, and he said, I'm doing the best I can. But he said, Sylvia, I grew up in a culture where you were never permitted to speak out. And he said, I learned not to speak out. He was smart, so he got promoted because of his skills in the business they were in. But he couldn't speak out. And I said, then tell them. Tell them. What I find is telling the truth is also a very powerful way of being heard. And it's short and simple. So we went back, and he said to the group, I've never told you this before, but I hear you, and I have not been there for you. Mm-hmm. He admitted it. And he said, I grew up. Basically, he just said what he told me. I grew up where I was not allowed to speak out. And he said, I now see it's impacting my workplace. And he said, I have to work on this, and I want you to come and talk with me. And he said, I need help. This is the other piece. We do not usually ask for help. And he said, if you come and you find me, you know, wanting to ignore what you're saying or pretend it doesn't matter or send you somewhere else, tell me you need my help.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened within 6 months, this was a company and they did sales. They were number one in the country.
Wow.
Because they had worked together and he became a hero in this group. His American name was Charles, became a hero in this group because they said when he spoke out, and he was pretty scared to do it. He said, you don't share your truth with people,
mm-hmm.
but it changed everything for the whole group. So I can only encourage somebody to take that risk or to find someone they can talk with who will help them begin to see that it is safe and help them find the right language to do it. Does that help, David?
No, I think it is helpful. I guess the other part of the challenge that I'm having as I'm trying to generalize this to anyone who might tune in is it seems like the real power in this whole process, or the greatest power, I should say, is where people, as you've pointed out, are working together as a team. And so for someone who's tuning in today, they're on a tribal council, they're someone who's involved with running a tribal business or industry, those people are in a position to say, we need to take advantage of more team building activities, especially looking at our relationships. They're in a position to chart that course, if you will. But someone else in that organization, they may not be able to orchestrate any kind of team spirit, if you will, in the organization. But what I hear you saying, Sylvia, is they can still have a powerful role just by speaking up. They're actually helping to create that team spirit, if you will. Am I hearing you right?
You're hearing me 100% right. And I believe we're at a time, we're at a bit of a turning point. You know, the economy is getting better. It's not there yet, but it's not where we were in 2009 when everybody hunkered down and nobody was going to open their mouth about anything. Again, David, we talk about the stress of holding back our unique skills and talents, of thinking we're not good enough, you know, that nobody will listen to us. And I have found that it is maybe 85.7% not true. You know, I don't want to paint this as a Pollyanna picture,
uh-huh.
but I think we have become more afraid to speak out, and that people who have been seen as different in the different cultural aspects often will hold back more, and we're losing great talent that way. So, yes, I think what you're saying is you have an opportunity, even if you go to a person and say, you know, I don't want to hold back anymore. I don't want to be a victim anymore. I don't want to be, you know, an avoider anymore. I don't want to be a denier anymore. These are the patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really suggesting take the pattern aware quiz and find out more about yourself. That's where power starts to come in. Knowing yourself creates power.
And that pattern aware quiz is a free service that you offer, right?
Exactly. And I'm going to even offer something else. If anybody takes the quiz and they want to call to talk about it, I or someone on my staff will be available to discuss it.
Well, that's wonderful. So how do people get a hold of you again?
Well, go to one of the websites, and, you know, our phone number is there. It's 570-636-3858 in Pennsylvania. Call or email, which is, you know, how everybody does it. You can email me directly, which is Sylvia, S-Y-L-V-I-A, at ceoptions.com.
Okay.
And I'll be pleased to answer.
Let me make sure that I've got this contact information, and for the benefit of those listening, they'll hear it again. Area code 573?
No, 570.
570. Okay. Area code 570-636-3858?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Sylvia, S-Y-L-V-I-A, at C-E Options.
Options with an S, yeah, O-P-T-I-O-N-S.
And that's .com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Well, As we're winding up, I mean, we've still got a few minutes. We've been speaking a lot to people who feel disempowered, people who feel victimized. What about the CEOs, the COOs that are listening to the show? What messages would you give them?
That once you open things up to create a team where people feel safe enough to speak out, you're going to win at every level. And the bottom line in business is financial. Mm-hmm. We want to do it with integrity. You create an arena of safety, and it'll come back in every way that you want, personally and professionally.
But how do you do that if there's already a culture of fear, or they feel like there have been reprisals when someone did speak up, they're no longer in the workplace, and you have that kind of corporate climate? What do people in leadership do to restore confidence and trust?
First of all, you have to start to talk. Human beings are communicators. We need to talk and say, what can we do differently? And it can be two people having a cup of coffee saying, this will stop with me. I'm going to say it again. He or she who remains silent is guilty too. And I think that as we speak up, the fear of terrible things happening is more fear, as I've seen. And I'm not being a Pollyanna. As I've seen, the fear goes away when people speak up and you begin to create a group who can say, we'll help you. Let's do it differently. Now, again, David, it's not easy, but it's worthwhile, because why else are we living? Why else are we living just to put our head down and feel rotten about everything, or to make a difference for ourselves, for our families, and for those we work with? So this isn't for everybody, but anybody who hears this, who hears the call and can say, it will start with me, or it will stop with me, you're ready to take that next step. So take the pattern aware quiz. That's the next step.
Sylvia, you've given us a lot to think about, a lot of great information. We appreciate the good illustrations that you shared along the way. How about giving us those websites once more if someone wants to tap into some of your wisdom?
Sure. The author site is SylviaLaFaire.com, Sylvia with a Y, and the other website is Creative Energy Options, CEOptions.com.
Okay, very good. Sylvia LaFaire, powerful messages, things that can transform your workplace, your family. Hopefully you've taken it to heart. For all of us at American Indian Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose, hoping, as always, that this show has contributed to your having a greater measure of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.